If I shot at a black hole with a 12 gauge, would it die? In the year 2000, the Baha Men made the song Who Let the Dogs Out? But where are the dogs now? Have they been found? Why were they let out in the first place? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Presumably we have done our jobs right and it is Tuesday. It might be Tuesday at midnight, but the podcast is here and we are back with another week of paranormal misadventures.
That's right.
I'm your host for this week, Roy Powers, joined by my co-host and professional paranormal investigator, Kit Greer.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you.
Kittles Grittles, as he's known in his home country.
The third.
If you haven't listened to this podcast before, every week we investigate a brand new paranormal case, tale, beast, claim, whatever it is, and we will come to a conclusion as to whether or not it is true or it is false, whether or not it is paranormal or just regular normal. Mm. I got a good one this week.
Really?
I was researching this last night.
Also known as Monday night, borderline Tuesday.
I started this one off and I was like, yeah, you know, it's a little story. Maybe there's some grays involved. I'll spend, you know, 20 minutes typing up the bastard. Copy paste Wikipedia.
What is it they say? Write drunk, edit drunk.
Write drunk, edit high.
Discover it shit when you're sober. Have to do it again. High and high.
Read it drunk so the high stuff makes sense. And then, you know, started getting a little later in the night. An owl must be getting real late. And then, you know, typing out more research.
Yeah.
The notes are getting bigger all of a sudden.
Yeah.
This is building into, you know, one of the most complex paranormal stories that I've ever researched.
Jesus.
All of a sudden, I'm thinking this bad boy is a seven part. This is another podcast entirely. We need to shut the paranormal one down and focus on this.
That's right. We're bringing an Audible exclusive series
called Diamond Pod. That'll make sense later in the episode. Without further ado, I present to you. Mm-hmm. Oh, it doesn't have a name.
Wow.
I'll call
you
it.
Didn't even give it a title.
All right.
All that
calm
writing.
Calm down. I'll call it. I think it's called the Cash Landrum case.
Okay.
So I'll call it the Cash Landrum case.
It's
and I'll add
beautiful.
Like a thunderbolt in there to kind of punctuate it.
All right.
Rawr! That was a cobra, actually.
A cobra? Kinda. I don't think that was a cobra.
It's the lightning of the animal kingdom.
It just took me a second, but yeah, you got to know that's a big cat.
So let's get started. It's December 29th, 1980, and Betty Cash, Vicky Landrum, and her 7-year-old grandson, Colby, we're out eating at a restaurant in a small town in Texas.
Beautiful.
By the time they finish up their meal, it's already 8:30 p.m. Pretty late for little 7-year-old Colby to be out.
Not even Colby, honestly. That's my bedtime.
So they paid up, left the restaurant, hopped to the car to head home. It's a quiet night, cold but still, as they drove down an empty road through the dense woods. They had no idea that this night would change their lives forever. The car was driving down the peaceful road. What?
I'm
sorry.
I cannot stress enough how peaceful this road was.
The night, still and peaceful. Not a bird was honking its stupid little beak.
Soothing jazz emitted from the radio.
Soothing, but still jazz.
Still smooth jazz played so low in volume you could barely make it out.
Yes, there was a mild pileup collision on the A4, but it was the most peaceful collision you have ever heard. That small family of five died without a peep.
It died the way they lived, peaceful and still. Like angels at the hands of a night beast.
It's a peaceful, still night. Peaceful, still, quiet. We've established that.
Right.
Or was it?
Okay. So we're clear. It wasn't.
Look, I had to set up the peaceful, still night to juxtapose against the madness.
The reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Betty and Vicky noticed a light glowing above the trees. Now, their house was very close to Houston International Airport, so obviously it wasn't unusual to see low-flying planes coming in for a landing.
Sure. Also could be the moon. That's another light in the night sky.
Yeah.
Could
stars.
Could be a firefly.
The ISS. The International Space Station. I really wish I hadn't struggled with that.
International Space Station.
Betty and Vicky didn't think anything of it and continued driving down the peaceful still road. The car followed the winding road deeper into the peaceful still woods. And that's when they noticed, stop laughing because it's getting serious now. That's when they noticed, I can see that smirk on your face. You're going to feel real bad about yourself in about 20 seconds.
Okay, fine. What peaceful and still thing is going to happen next?
You're going to regret saying that because this actually gets pretty grim. That's when they, yeah, peaceful still. Sorry, I'm just skipping.
Sorry, so it is
peaceful. It's still peaceful now, yeah. It's still peaceful for the next couple paragraphs. So if you'll hold on a second, just give me a, now I've lost my point. Peaceful still. There's a whole chapter here called the still one.
Maybe if you hit Apple F, search by peaceful.
Okay.
Or still, maybe you find where you left
off. 2100 hits.
Okay.
The paranormal thing about this story is just how peaceful and still the night was. It really freaked them out. They just started screaming, trying to break the silence. Like, the car followed the winding road deeper into the woods. And that's when they noticed in front of them, it was the same light they had seen in the sky. Oh. This time closer, brighter. This time it was so bright they had to shield their eyes.
Whoa.
As the craft came down, it looked like it split the sky in two.
Oh my, how bright is this thing?
As they got closer to the vehicle, neither woman could believe what they were seeing. It was a huge, diamond-shaped object hovering at tree level with a fiery, burning glow emanating from the bottom of the craft. They could feel the heat coming off of it, even from inside the car. Vicky screamed, "Stop the car!" Afraid that they would be burned if they got any closer, Vicky's 7-year-old grandson, Colby, starts crying, obviously.
Obviously.
He's not only young, but he's a coward.
Yeah.
He's terrified of what's in front of him. Vicky, who at the time was a born-again Christian, was so blown away with what they were seeing, she turned to him and said, "Don't worry, that's Jesus."
Really?
He will not hurt us.
She was really confident about that.
I guess if you are that recently a born-again Christian, so it's like that's your full understanding
of you're going into every situation loaded with the knowledge he's coming back.
Yeah, like the Amazon dude is like delivering a package like, "Jesus!" Chip bursts through the door.
You need to sign here. He writes Jesus. Sorry, it's something in my head.
Yeah, you think anything is going to be the big man.
Right.
And I guess this is a pretty majestic occurrence, you know?
If he was going to come back.
Flame and diamond.
This could be it. This could be the way.
Yeah, because like he's already done the chill thing, right? Where he died, was risen, and then just when Mary was in the field, he was like walking around in a robe. Mm. And it's like, who was that guy that got buried in the tomb? She's like, "Oh, it was Jesus of Nazareth." Yeah, it was really sad, actually, because I was a good friend of his. Mm. "Don't you mean you are a good friend of his?" And she's like, "Oh, Jesus, no way. Like, what? It's crazy. You really had us all going there."
Yeah.
He's like done the chill one.
Yeah.
So now, like next time he comes back, it's going to be like kisses, rock and roll all night, like booming out of the clouds.
Well, it's because, you know, he's up there, he's upstairs watching, you know, he's got cable up there, obviously. So he's watching TV down here and seeing what's going on. And he's like, "Holy shit, things have gotten very out of hand since I was last there. I think, you know, Kanye West is going on tour with like, you know, all these like multiple stages. You know, Slipknot out there, they've got like a rotating cage where they play the drums in.
You gotta up the ante.
You know, they've got huge like LED screens at concerts now. People have seen a lot of amazing sights, so I really need to up the production value of the whole Jesus experience."
Exactly. And think about how crazy people go for bands and musicians like BTS. Mm-hmm. Korean boy band BTS.
Right.
Did BTS die for your sins? No!
No.
So imagine how excited you're going to be when you meet the dude who did.
I like the idea of Jesus being like, "This guy has so many followers." Like, still not as many as me, but like, it's not quite a lot. Like, and these guys haven't even died for shit.
Yeah.
They're just like, kind of pretty. Like, they take selfies and they get millions of hits.
There's something really funny about Jesus being confused between religious followers and Twitter followers. So what the hell, these guys have 14 million?
He's like on like Forbes list of like Instagram accounts with most followers 2018. Yeah. He's like, "What the hell? I'm not even on this list.
What is going on?
I should be top five.
My book is like a bestseller."
Loading up New York Times bestseller list. It's not even on there.
So she thinks it's Jesus and she's told Colby that it's Jesus as well.
Okay.
Betty, on the other hand, was still petrified.
Yeah.
She thought about trying to turn the car around, but she knew the roads were so narrow, there was a high chance that they would slip off into the dirt shoulders and get stuck. So they're kind of pinned, just facing this floating diamond.
So you got a horror movie style. Jack it into reverse, flip your hand over the seat, look back through the mirror, and just pin it.
As this, like, T-Rex diamond, like, chases you down the road. Vicky continued to comfort her terrified grandson.
We're gonna die, son, but we're gonna go to somewhere better.
Don't worry, Colby. Everything's gonna be fine. This is Jesus. He's not gonna hurt us. Big fiery explosion from the craft. I was wrong! It's not Jesus! It's the devil! He's gonna hurt us! It's kind of his thing!
A giant circular saw comes out.
While Vicky continued to comfort her terrified grandson, Betty decided to step out of the car and take a closer look. Now, we've talked a lot about this craft and what it looks like.
Yeah.
This has been quite a popular case, and you'll go on to realize why it's become such a popular case.
Okay.
But that's led to a lot of different artists and investigators doing their own illustrations, depictions of it. So I have some pictures of what this craft allegedly looked like.
Beautiful,
that night.
As described by those first-hand witnesses.
Exactly.
Ooh. Well, this is a lot more sci-fi than I give credit. So in some of these images, it almost looks like a giant Chinese lantern that you might, like, you know, light in the sky, but giant, and maybe crossed with a TARDIS, just like in the way that it's this massive metallic lit up container just floating in the sky.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, those little green diamonds that float above your Sims?
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
But if flames shot out of the bottom of them and melted like your Sim's head.
Yeah, accurate. Pretty darn large. It's hard to tell from the scale of these images, but, you know, maybe a few times the size of the car itself. Definitely some sort of craft. I don't know if I would think that is Jesus, based on the style of craft.
Now that you've seen the ship.
You know, it's kind of in a, you know, a brutalist kind of architectural style. I don't know if that was Jesus's thing.
It's not very welcoming, actually. Now, even when I look at it, yeah, it's pretty industrial. I think also, like, once you hear about the events following this encounter, you're going to realize very quickly, it's not Jesus.
Yeah, we shouldn't get hung up on that first, you know, impression.
I'm going to go ahead and say 100% it is not Jesus.
Okay, fine.
So Betty decides to step out of the car and take a closer look.
Okay.
As she approached the craft, she could feel the burning air around her. She stood there staring at it, absolutely mesmerized. Similar to the Travis Walton case, where these people who come across these crafts are just mesmerized, and they're kind of drawn to them, these beautiful sights. After Colby had calmed down in the car, Vicky left to join Betty by watching the object.
Okay.
Both of them just staring there at this huge glowing diamond hovering in the sky. Betty said because the light was so bright, she couldn't see the exact details of the object, but she could describe the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
There was this strange beeping noise, and occasionally there would be a loud swoosh as flames showered downward towards the road.
Wow.
She said the whole area had a great sound, almost like a roar. After a short while, the craft began to elevate higher into the sky. Betty and Vicky decided this was a good chance to actually leave.
Right.
So they run back to the car. But when Betty reached out to grab the door handle, she screamed, "Ah!" The door handle was burning hot to touch.
Wow.
She had to wrap her hand in her coat just so she could get it open. Even on the inside, the car was roasting hot. Allegedly, the dashboard was even partially melted.
Good God. You know, everyone always wonders when a craft comes down to Earth, what technology is it using? And, you know, we don't have answers to that specifically, but, you know, these crafts always seem to, they never have, like, regular, like, Harrier jet engines or, like, helicopter
blades.
Helicopter blades to just hover there. They always have some next gen physics and technology.
Next gen diamond fire.
And
sounds like a great James Bond movie.
Pretty much.
James Bond, diamond fire. Sorry, I feel like I kind of sidetracked you there.
And sometimes the accounts just seem to conveniently just hover there using some kind of unknown telepathic or magnetic technology. It's kind of interesting that in this one, that there is described in this account a byproduct of the actual crafts technology. There is heat, there is flames, there is sound, there is light. Quite interesting. It's a little bit more depth than we've seen from previous UFO encounters.
Absolutely. These are all tiny little parts of the description that will actually grow to form a bigger part of this story. Mm. So it's very good that you're picking up on these little details early on, because they will become important later on in the story.
Mm.
So as they got into the car, the craft continued upward into the sky. Where was it going? Why was it leaving? That's when they heard the thunderous roar of engines in the distance. All of a sudden, a horde of military helicopters approached the vehicles, attempting to surround it. The chase carried on upwards into the sky, away from the women. Betty took this as an opportunity to get the F out of H. Wait, get the F out of T. Betty and Vicky drove home as fast as they could, keeping one eye out the window as the glowing diamond craft disappeared into the horizon, along with the horde of military helicopters.
We talking Black Hawk?
We're actually talking about a very specific type of helicopter, which will also be important, which is I believe it's called a Chinook helicopter, which is the ones that kind of look like, they're like double blade ones.
Hmm.
You know, those almost like carrier
jet. Oh, I know the ones. Yeah, okay.
They're
sure.
Pretty like distinguishable from other types of
Absolutely.
Helicopters.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's not a Black Hawk. All right.
They got home to their house, quickly rushed inside, calming down little seven-year-old Colby, getting him tucked away in bed.
Where's Jesus? Listen, Colby, I'm sorry I said it was Jesus. I got carried away. It's not Jesus. Absolutely.
You've said a lot of things are Jesus recently.
I know whenever the microwave dinged last night, it was actually that the dinner I put in there was ready. It wasn't actually Jesus. It
wasn't actually the second coming of Lord and Savior.
It definitely wasn't. It was the second serving of delicious Chinese food.
So I won't make that mistake again. So it's fine. Jesus, he's here! That night, Vicky lay awake in bed, thinking back to what she'd seen. That giant diamond, what was it? Jesus? A spacecraft? So she is still thinking it's Jesus.
Still, yeah.
When all of a sudden, she heard a crash from Colby's room. She runs over. Colby, what's wrong? Colby is on the floor, vomiting everywhere.
Oh boy.
He's screaming, "My eyes are burning!"
He's writhing around down there.
He's writhing around. He's suffering horribly. Then all of a sudden, she hears Betty from the kitchen scream. Vicky ran out to see what the commotion was. There was Betty, standing in the kitchen, holding clumps of her own hair.
Oh no. This is what I was worried about.
Yeah.
Because when that thing's given off, heat's given off, light's given off, flames, what else is it giving off?
Exactly.
You don't know what range of the electromagnetic spectrum that is just being pumped out of there like loud music.
Anything that makes a diamond float in the sky isn't going to be good for your physical health.
And
anything that does anything magical is not good for you.
Right. That's a little known fact about Harry Potter. The reason the book stopped at number 7 is because in book 8, his hair fell out and things went south. Okay?
Magic was actually detrimental to the little children's health.
That's what they don't tell you when you sign up to Hogwarts, is Hogwarts is where you will die.
Why do you think Voldemort from the Witchcraft Sanitation Board was constantly trying to shut down Hogwarts? You are exposing children to these
magic?
To magic?
Are you crazy?
Are you mad? They can't even drive a car. You're giving them a little wand that can make shit fly?
Oh boy. Wasn't that the thing? Was like, all the kids with wands were just trusted to never say the spell that killed someone?
Basically, right? They were like, there's a spell called Expelliarmus or Hartebumus, whatever it was called. It's like, yeah, but don't say it.
AK-47-us.
Don't say it, because you'll kill a dude.
I know I just said it, but I wasn't holding wand that time, so you can't say it at all.
And then, you know, the kids are in the hallway going like, Wingardium Leviosa, making his pants, like, give him a wedgie. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then Ron's like, oh, yeah, real funny. Wingardium Shankus. And then it becomes a blade and he goes at these kids because you should not have trusted them with magic. Those are the dark arts. Similar to magic, anything weird and otherworldly is not going to be good for the human body.
You know, the human body is designed beautifully by Mother Nature herself to deal with the forces and threats that Earth itself can provide. So our bodies are perfectly adapted to the weather, to the temperature. Even, you know, if you flew to the Caribbean right now, you would get burned alive because, like, your body isn't adapted to that
type of like intensity of heat and sun.
Exactly.
You know, and the same way if like maybe an Inuit in the northern territories of Canada came here, they'd be like, why is it so warm all the time? Let alone technology coming from another galaxy potentially and coming onto Earth, our tiny little spacesuit bodies are not adapted to whatever's going on out there.
Exactly. The aliens probably breathe this stuff in nonstop. Yeah. And this will literally kill us.
Yes.
Isn't it like Saturn that has just oceans of like methane, liquid methane, like poison basically? Poison right. Oceans? It's like that's their water?
Yeah, well, I think Venus is like that, isn't it? Like Venus is like, you know, the temp, it's like 150 degrees Celsius, like just on the surface of the ground. Yeah, there's like tornadoes of cyanide or something.
It's insane. I remember reading about one, you know, because this is why we can't explore space, people. Yep. Earth is safe.
Earth is great.
It's a good little place that, yeah, we're ruining, but for the meantime, the party's great. But then people think, oh, you know, well, when this party's over, we'll move on to the next one. What about this planet over there? There is a planet out there where every day it rains glass sideways. The universe is not welcoming, people.
No.
We will die if we leave. And we're going to die if we stay. So grab a beer and start fracking. I really don't want that to be the takeaway. Please recycle. Please keep the oceans clean and use those straws that don't kill turtles. If you listen to this podcast, I know people keep thinking like, I'm sure there's a reason why Mars is like the optimal choice because it's close and maybe it can be changed into like a habitable planet, but it's not good. No, it's still very unlivable.
It's way worse.
Like even if you made it there, you can't walk out. You'll still die immediately.
Yeah, there's no atmosphere. You will actually get radiation like poisoning in half of these places.
It's so bad.
From the sun.
So all of them immediately have become very ill.
Okay.
Over the next 2 days, Betty, Vicky, and Colby would experience nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, generalized weakness, a burning sensation in their eyes, and feeling as though they were suffering from sunburn. Betty, who was the one who actually got closest to the craft, eventually had to be taken to hospital on January 3rd.
I mean, I would hope after just a couple of those symptoms, she'd be going to hospital.
Well, I think, you know, it starts off slow. A little bit of diarrhea, a little bit of nausea.
No big deal.
Then by the time she got to the hospital...
Drink a Lucozade, suck it up.
Lucozade sport. Apparently by the time she got to the hospital, she, quote, couldn't walk.
Right.
And had lost large patches of her skin and hair.
Okay.
I think that's when you call up Doc.
Yes. I get it, though, because, you know, whenever you're getting sick, you're kind of in denial those first couple days, aren't you?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Like, I do have a tickly throat, but, you know, I had a crisp last night that was particularly spiky, and I think it tore up my throat a little bit, so, you know, maybe that's why I've got a tickly throat. And it's like, oh, I'm a little shivery, but I guess it's cold today. Everyone around you is wearing shorts. Oh, shit. And then you realize you got a cold. You realize you're sick. You accept it a few days later.
Exactly.
You know, for her, she's like, you know, maybe I was already losing my hair. Maybe
yeah,
I was...
I'm getting up there. Yeah, skin loss, that's a thing as
you know,
well.
I'm like, you know, 27, I guess. I guess that's possible.
I mean, this actually happened to me. I stood on glass and got glass in my foot and then thought I'd got it all out and walked on it for 2 weeks, I think, before I realized, one, it wasn't getting any better. And then two, I almost passed out.
Wow.
And I was like, I think it's still in there. And I had to go to the doctor. He's like, you have a massive piece of glass in your foot. You've had it there since you stood on the glass.
It's like twice the size of your foot. It's bare. It's like just the tiny like iceberg tip of it is like in your foot. Wow.
Cinderella had a glass shoe. I had a glass foot.
Yeah, I was wondering. I wasn't able to actually fit my shoe on around my massive glass foot for the last few days.
It's like, so what are you going to do? Are you going to, I don't know, surgery? Take it out. Gets a hammer. Oh, right. You just smash it out. Cool. Yeah, I'm glassless now. Seven people walk in. Oh! Why were you all barefoot?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, as humans, we have to deal with a lot day to day. Sometimes you can feel like your social battery is drained.
Not just my social battery, my regular battery.
Why do you have a regular battery?
I'm not a robot or anything. I'm definitely human.
Right. And as humans, it's important that we understand ourselves so that we can build a social life that works for us.
Yes. I love sharing human memories with my human friends.
So the way you're speaking makes me think that you definitely are a robot.
I'm not. I love all human things. Food, oil.
Okay, so the second thing was already weird.
Huh?
Kit might be a robot, but humans aren't. We need to look after ourselves, and one way to do that is through therapy. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
I live for thousands of years, so
okay,
my schedule is very flexible.
Fantastic. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/paranormallife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/paranormallife.
Affirmative.
So I can understand not wanting to go to the hospital almost immediately.
Yeah.
There's something, I think, engraved in ourselves as humans that we don't want to be little cowards. You don't want to be weak. You don't want to look like the weak one in the pack.
And, you know, for this lady, little Colby, you know, she's got to put on a brave face for her dependent child.
Exactly.
You know? So she's like, listen, we're all right. Don't worry.
You told him it was Jesus. What is Colby going to think Jesus does when your hair starts falling out?
He's leaving the church for sure. She's ruined him for life.
Imagine Colby growing up is like, yeah, I stopped really being religious when Jesus killed my granny. That's a pretty good reason to not believe.
All the other kids are just like, it's like, yeah, I just wasn't really that interested. I feel like it didn't really fill any hole in my life. He's like, yeah, also when the flames and the diamond, what? Yeah, you know, when Jesus like showed up with the flames and the diamond and killed my mom and
melted my mother's face. Yeah. So Betty is the one going through the really hard time.
Okay.
Around this time, Vicky decided to call the National UFO Reporting Center. If anyone could help explain what they had seen and what was happening to Betty, maybe it was someone at this organization.
Okay.
I actually have the recording of the phone call made that day.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Who
recorded it?
This is one of the reasons why, I think they record every phone call.
Okay.
This is one of the reasons why this is such a big case, because it's so well documented.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play that recording for you right now.
Yes, sir. This is Vicky Lindholm from Dayton, Texas.
Yes.
A deer come down and it was like fire was coming from it.
Uh-huh.
Right ahead of us, and we had to stop. And we got out of the car. There's nothing happened to me, but my eyes is burned. But the Betty Cash, it was with me that night, not started coming, and she had a real terrible headache. And so she's been in Parkview Hospital over 2 weeks. I got out and she stayed 2 weeks, and I had to put her back. And all of her hair has come out. They can't find out exactly what's wrong with her. They keep saying it could be this. There's a possibility of that. But instead of her getting better, she gets worse. And could it have had anything to do with that thing that we stood and watched? Because we were close enough to it that we felt the fire from it.
How close do you feel you were to that?
I'd be safe to say it wasn't more than maybe a block and a half from it. And I thought the world was coming to the end. I really did. I told my grandson not to be afraid that if he saw something come out of it, that it would be Jesus.
Was this a fairly large object?
Yes, sir.
Would it be larger than your car?
Yes, sir.
And did it land on the ground?
No, sir. It come down almost to the treetop. And then it went back up and went to the light of it. And we counted 23 helicopters.
23?
There might have been more. Coming on 1960 over here, we counted those helicopters up there, so there has to be somebody that knew about it. It was caused from that. I don't want her to die. I want her to get better. My name's Vicky Lindholm, and her name is Betty Cash, and she's in Parkview Hospital. Now, one of the doctors believes that we might have got some radiation. And I mean, this is not a hoax. I'm not calling you for a hoax. Call the Parkview Hospital and verify what I'm telling you.
Okay, we're going to do everything we can to help.
Okay, thank you.
That was quite hard to understand.
Yeah, there's parts of it that kind of dip in and out. I think the quality of the recording is obviously very low.
It was kind of like, eyes are burning. Giant craft. Jesus.
I mean, you're getting all the important stuff, so it's fine, true. Right?
Yeah, I'm glad we got that bit and not the peaceful still woods. So I'm glad she said the R word. That's what this seems to be happening. That they seem to have gotten an acute radiation poisoning. For the folks listening at home, the symptoms of radiation poisoning are disturbing and bizarre. Exactly what's described: burning skin, burning eyes, losing hair, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. And the pattern that it works is can be weird as well, depending on the type of dose you got.
Yeah.
If you receive a fatal dose of radiation, you can, I think you initially become sick in the way that these people were. You then can even recover fully for like 2 weeks and then basically drop dead after that.
Yeah.
It's totally bizarre.
It's crazy. I'm glad you're bringing that up because when they were tested at the hospital, the test results implied that obviously each victim had experienced an incredible amount of radiation poisoning. And just to illustrate how bad it was, Betty's personal physician, Dr. Brian McClelland, compared the level of radiation they were experiencing to be, quote, 3 to 5 miles from the epicenter of Hiroshima. You can't do this accidentally.
No, there are very few locations on Earth or very few substances possible that could have that effect on someone. You would have to be in a, like, nuclear power plant.
I've actually got a picture here as well. That is Vicky and Becky when their story went public, a picture of them. So there's Vicky, who's the elder woman who made the phone call on the left. And then Betty, who, as you can see, her hair is just falling right out of her head.
Falling out in patches, that's right.
One thing I love about that phone call is the certainty in which Vicky's speaking. Mm. There's one point where he's like, was it bigger than your car? And she's like, yes. Did it touch the ground? No.
Yeah.
Like, how many helicopters? We counted 23. It's not rambly. It's someone who is reciting very accurately.
Quick and matter-of-fact phone call, actually, for the enormity of what happened.
Yeah, I think one of the sad things about it is she's just quite worried and upset about what's happening to Betty. Because all she brings it up multiple times. She's like, someone needs to come to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Someone needs to help her. She's not getting better. She's getting sick. This needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. There's helicopters, so someone knows what's going on.
Exactly.
Here. The question I kept coming back to was, let's say it wasn't aliens or the government or anything. How would you even accidentally expose yourself to this amount of radiation? If you told me right now, today you have one goal, get as radioactive as possible. I wouldn't know where to start.
Jump in a sewer, start eating trash,
right?
Hang out at a hospital. I don't know.
Would you eat a battery? Does that help? I feel like that would do something. Like drink a glow stick? I don't know what radioactive materials are or how to consume them.
Yeah, and like you say, there is a very scientific scale of radiation exposure. And to get the kind of exposure that Betty received, you would have to probably take like hundreds or I don't know, hundreds or thousands of x-rays. Like you couldn't do it with one or two x-rays. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Whenever I studied physics at school, we had like an option.
Paranormal Harvard, by the way. No, it wasn't a real school.
Right. Well, it was like, this was actually before university. So before Harvard Paranormal, I was like Harvard, like pre-paranormal.
Oh, preschool.
Yeah. And I did physics and I had to do like for the end of the year of like my final year, you had to do like a little experiment. And I thought it would be badass to work with something radioactive. Clearly very short-sighted sort of mentality that I wanted to work with the most dangerous thing.
Was that available at the time?
Yes. And no one else chose to do it. But I told my teacher, I was like, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, I won a huge supply of plutonium for this school project.
And and then like a week later, he's like, oh, we got the supplies in. He produced a small wooden box, which was lead lined, and it had a little clasp on the front, and it had like all the radioactive warning symbols on top.
Oh my God.
And
he was like, do not eat this. I cannot stress that enough.
Pretty much. He gave me a form, which was a waiver that was like, I, being 18 years old, like consent to working with this radioactive materials. It is not the responsibility of Harvard Paranormal Preschool for what happens to me, I'm happy to take on working with this substance. And I was like, all right, whatever, signed it. Open this box, and there is like a tiny little rock. And my teacher warned me, he was like, don't look directly at it.
There's no way this is real.
And there was tweezers accompanying it. You can't touch it, you can't look at it. And I just had to, so I was like measuring the effect it had on something or other, my brain or something like that. And and I had to like carry it around with tweezers. I couldn't look at it. I had to just kind of look out of the corner of my eye, like where I was putting it.
You had to look at it, right? Did you look at it?
I mean, you look at it. So I saw that it was like a little rock. But like, you're not supposed to stare at it.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I did my little experiments. I put it back in the box, closed the little box, and now I'm infertile. No, that last bit's not true. But, well, I don't know. It might be. But the point being, I had to sign a disclaimer. The school had to go through a special avenue of scientific materials to buy that tiny amount of a radioactive substance.
Right.
Even then, I was able to get in. I was able to basically handle it with just like a set of chopsticks and be around it. And I was completely fine.
Yeah.
So what kind of level of radioactivity were these ladies dealing with that just getting, like, what did she say? Did she say it was a block away?
About a block and a half away.
About a block and a half away. And she got enough to put her into hospital.
Yeah. Almost killed her, basically. So after all of this, the phone call, the hospitalization, Betty and Vicky told the police, the military, and everyone they knew about what happened that night. But no one would believe them. In fact, when they did confront the military and local airfields, desperately looking for answers, they said, "Look, there were no helicopters at all in the air that night." I mean, they
were playing hard to get, I see. Great.
"I don't even know what a helicopter is."
Do-do-do-do-do.
They said, "In fact, no airfield in the area are even equipped with Chinook helicopters."
Mm.
"Your story is just not possible." So they're going above and beyond. But the dangerous thing about this is, what you've done is, you've gone from being uncertain about Betty and Vicky's story about a flying diamond, to essentially calling them liars.
Yeah.
Because you've gone from like, oh, I don't really know if what you saw was real. Mm. And you've stepped that up to, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. You're lying because there's no Chinook helicopters. There were no helicopters in the sky that night.
It's kind of like if I had a like leftover sandwich, I had extra, you know, extra dinner, and I was like, I'll just make a little sandwich for lunch tomorrow. Make it, put it in the fridge. I wake up for work the next day, sandwich is gone. I go, yep. "Hey, Rory, did you eat a sandwich by any chance?" You go, "Not only was there no sandwich, we do not have a fridge that you could even keep a sandwich in. So what you are saying is categorically untrue."
But then also, I've been affected in front of you by the coldness of the fridge that does exist. So everyone is just denying anything ever happened.
Yeah.
Despite these physical implications. The story is kind of at a dead end at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Until, in the following months, as the story spread, Betty and Vicky realized that they weren't the only people who had seen something that night.
Oh, snap.
Before they knew it, other civilians were coming forward with their own stories. Off-duty police officer Detective Lamar Walker and his wife claimed that they had seen the bright diamond, and an oil field worker on his way home claims that he witnessed it too. And most importantly, each witness also claimed to have seen a large group of Chinook helicopters.
Dude.
Someone is lying here, Kit.
Someone, whether it's the little boy, Betty, or the government agent.
A respected member of the U.S. military.
All I know is there's a lot of badges between all these people, and only one person's carrying them.
And who is lying in this story, Kit? Well, we'll find out on the next episode of This Paranormal Life! That's right. As I said in the intro, this story was a little one that I wanted to do in one episode, but as I researched more and more, I got phone recordings, interviews, mm-hmm. video interviews mm-hmm. with everyone affected. It just snowballed into this story that was essentially too big to squeeze into one episode. I think I would be doing a disservice to the investigation.
100%. I respect that.
And there's more to come. There's twists, there's turns, there's evidence. I'm really excited about this next episode. But for now, that's all that we're going to hear about in the Cash Landrum Diamond UFO case.
This is an incredible story so far. This is already more evidence than we've seen in probably the last 20 episodes combined.
Exactly. It's very rarely that we get a UFO encounter that leaves some sort of physical footprint,
right,
let alone on the world, but on humans. And to have it all so well documented, because it was just so recent, is incredible.
Could we be inching closer to a long forgotten yes on this podcast?
I don't wanna, you know, jump the gun here, but I'm heading in that direction.
It's been a long time,
and hopefully, next week you users can join us on that peaceful, still, quiet road all the way to Yes Town.
Peaceful, still, radioactive, flaming, flaming hot road to Yes Town.
So join us next Tuesday for the conclusion of this investigation. Thank you very much for joining us this week. We will be back in 7 days.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.